Cleveland sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to talk about what Dan Quinn had to say, including putting Ito Smith on IR. I just got a tweet, Mike, and you know the Twitter the tweet was simple. I'm concerned about just having basically free. Knowing that both running backs now, you know, you got Ito Smith and Free on IR, and you're about to let go of Coleman. As we've said, and we'll get more into this, that is not a definitive thing. Nobody has said for sure that's going to happen. It sounds like it, Mike, because from a financial standpoint, if you're looking at all the things we need to do and how much money you want to invest in your backfield. But I got to tell you guys, if you want a reliable running back, that guy is Coleman. And if you believe that to be the case and you're a little bit fearful of what could happen to Free based on the last couple of years, mm-hmm. you keep him.
Now, Coleman's a guy that, you know, you and I, and we have a couple of listeners, we always bring up, you know, Free versus Coleman and who's the guy you keep and where do you go. They can maybe restructure. Because Free is under no obligation to restructure. They can cut Free and they can split that cap hit over 2 years. And then you'd have Ito Smith and then you could bring Coleman back if you wanted. Coleman, to me, for my money, and I know some people say I'm picking the nit, is sometimes arm tackles get him on the ground. Sometimes I still don't think he can cut back the way that Free can at times. But how much, again, that's why it's tough to be a prisoner of the moment because Arizona's just so god-awful. You know, I mean, everything that we couldn't get to work in previous weeks all worked perfectly. We sacked the quarterback 7 times. We got the turnover margin that Quinn's been lobbying and screaming and pining for. And we got the run game. We had 200 yards of rushing. You know, we couldn't run the ball of our life depended on it, save for 2 other games this year.
Yeah, I just think Coleman, for me, all right, this is me, is a better outside runner than in between the tackles. And when we talk about those tough, hard yards to come by, Free has shown us he can run in between the tackles. He can, you know, get through that first initial contact. That's what you're talking about. And sometimes you've seen Coleman, you know, as we talk about, not finish runs.
Right.
So yesterday, the yards, where did the yards come, Bo, yesterday for Coleman? On the outside, right? For the most part, the big run was on the outside.
Yeah, big runs, including one of them when he talked to us after the game. He said, you know, the 65-yard, he goes, yeah, it looked just like it did in practice.
That's unusual. I mean, hey, sometimes it lines up perfectly for you. But with that said, guys, that's the big news as far as Ito Smith going to the IR. We will talk more about the Falcons' win. We do want to talk about MLS because we are champions. That's our Atlanta United. And Mike Bell, MLS adopts a new playoff structure for 2019.
Yeah, now, I know this was tough, especially for the casual soccer fan who was like, okay, how do the playoffs work? Aggregate score? We have to go on the road? What? No, they're going to go to simple single elimination playoffs. So this year, Carl, for instance, we would have started the playoffs with New York City FC coming to our building. Mm-hmm. The game that literally turned the season around was after we lost the end of the regular season finale. Remember, we go up to New York City and play on that ridiculous pitch. We're so nervous about it. And that was kind of our, we, you know, use that phrase, springboard. That was our springboard again to get rolling through the playoffs. So in retrospect, Carl, we would have gone to New York and played, or Jersey, played the Red Bulls in their house for the championship game for the Eastern Conference. Do they roll out that wacky style that they employed here at Mercedes-Benz?
No.
Or would they have come out and pressed us up to yin-yang the way they did when they beat us in New Jersey?
It changes.
It changes the dynamic a little bit.
It does. I also think you should be rewarded for your regular season. We talk about this with college football, right? You need to be rewarded for winning your conference championship. That's why Oklahoma's in. Georgia's not. And I think for the regular season, as good as we were, you need to be rewarded for that. The other part of this, guys, and we're talking about, again, for next season. To me, Mike, this just makes sense. It's simple. It's easy for MLS fans to understand. But the most important thing is this fits the international schedule. And I think this was a big part of the mindset. And Darren Eales came on our show and talked about this, about, you know, we need to tweak the scheduling a little bit because the interference with the international schedule and how things work out. And just looking ahead to Qatar and when the World Cup rolls around, our season, our MLS season will be done. Guys who are participating around the world in this event will be done with their MLS season. I think that's a big part of this as well.
Right. I think we all agreed in our first experience going deep in the playoffs. Because remember, last year we got knocked out by Columbus in the single elimination round. It's a little confusing. Some people don't like it. Some people are saying this is blowback on United for making the Red Bulls look bad. You know, and the Red Bulls have been everybody's darling. They ever bring, like, they choke. They don't bring home the bacon. They've won the Supporters' Shield 3 times and not been able to bring it home. So that's on them. Whatever the motivation is, do you think other teams' owners got involved and said, let's go to single elimination? It does make for an interesting scenario. How would we have handled a road to the playoffs that would have gone 1 game, single elimination, up at Red Bull Arena?
Yeah.
Than maybe knowing in advance we could have 30,000 United fans in there.
Well, true.
Because they didn't sell out. They didn't, of course. But they were going to the dynamic, Carl's. We put the hammer down on those guys with those 3 goals. So the whole strategy which they employed goes out the window. It's an interesting paradox how this would have played out.
Yeah, whatever I think you do best, and we said this. I think the Red Bulls, for example, you know, betrayed their identity, right? Whatever you do best, you better do it. Single elimination changes the entire scope of how you go about these matches. So this is for 2019, single elimination matches following a straight bracket format. And here's the other part of this, guys, expansion, because we've got Cincinnati coming into the league. Right now it's 12 teams. There'll be 14 teams that make the playoffs, obviously with the one seeds getting the bye. But I love this. To me, this is just like common sense.
Well, a couple of texts coming in from the listeners from Christopher Gersel. He also hits Mike Conti up. He says, the league needs to shift away from having an attendance-friendly playoff format to a TV-friendly format, because that's the way it is. It's simple and easy to understand from an audience perspective, easier to sell for TV networks since each game is must-watch. I agree with him.
Yeah.
I mean, the aggregate thing, especially when you're trying to grow the soccer game to the casual fan, it's if it takes more than two paragraphs for me to explain it to you, that's a problem.
Here's another aspect of this, and we don't have to deal with this because we're in Mercedes-Benz. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're talking about the new ruling that came down today in regards to MLS playoffs and how it would have maybe changed or affected our run. Either way, we're champions, but I do like this idea of single elimination. Mike, it's better weather. If you got to travel up north, you're playing in October, not November, potentially, in some of these outdoor venues. I think that's a big deal as well. So that helps, you know, and then – also, the recovery time between the regular season and the postseason. All these things kind of played into this decision-making, right, which totally makes sense. And I think it helps us. Guys, think about this. If we have the kind of regular season we had last year, or maybe even better, we're at home, right, for these single elimination games. I mean, for the most part, I think this helps us.
So I think, you know, we want to win the Supporters' Shield. As Darren says, we want the hardware. It didn't matter to the Red Bulls. They had it, and we took it from them. We obviously won the championship. But it's streamlining a process that was a little convoluted. Soccer purists still like the aggregate, the two, the home and home. But again, you're trying to grow a sport which we're used to single elimination playoff games.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, as we said, for this year, we struggled trying to explain it to a lot of fans that are trying to get in on the vibe. Here's Craig Valentino, CCV, what you got?
The one thing I'd rather stick with what you have is, because we talk about how Arthur Blank's willing to spend money. You're taking away games now from other teams that wouldn't have had them. Like, for instance, we wouldn't have had the second game here that we had here because we'd have played in New York.
Right.
You have teams that are now that don't spend money. They're going to be missing out on checks when it comes to that. So you want to expand it. Owners need to make more so then they can spend more. Well, we have an owner who's willing to spend, but not every team has that. So according, it's definitely going
to
be tough.
And according to MLS, higher-seeded teams historically, they won basically two-thirds of the percentage of the 49 single-game elimination playoff matches in MLS playoff history. So we would have gone home and then on the road in this year's playoffs. Home here, New York would have come to us, and we would have gone to New Jersey.
That's right. And remember, guys, last but not least, and we'll talk more about this as we get ready for the upcoming season. I do. I think this makes sense. We keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple. I think for most American soccer fans, all right, this was very unorthodox in the way that the playoff system was built. And so now that you have this following, and here's the thing, too. You want more people to get involved? Make it easier. Make it easier for them to understand and work around. And I think, you know, people saw around the country, our 70,000, 73,000 at Mercedes-Benz. Make it easy, man. Make it easy so we don't have to go, what needs to happen? What else is going to happen?
Because you're right. You know, and the thing is, when we go 3-0, and granted, it worked out for us. I'm glad we had it this way because we were able to sort of shake the boogeyman off that was Red Bulls. They beat us 1-0 in their house. But again, we also blitzkrieged those guys. And they also came out, as we said, Carl, a couple of guys brought this up on Twitter. They played away from their style. That was on their coach. You know, they did something they don't normally do, and we took advantage of it. And the better team won.
One other thing I did want to mention, and again, this gets back to us owning our division, right, owning our Eastern Conference. The number one team in each conference will receive a first-round bye. So you want the rest. You want home field first and foremost, but you want the rest. That's the way you've got to do it. Mike, we're going to be picked to do that anyway, going into this next season. Now, you know, our buddy Alexi Lawless said Toronto's not going anywhere, and they'll be coming at us. But we're going to be picked to be the best team in the Eastern Conference coming off this MLS Cup.
I don't want to brag on our team, well, kind of a little bit, but doesn't it seem like this was changed because of us,
yes,
though? Because
that's how we started, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
So many people that got tuned in. Our game was the game after the World Cup final. People forget about that. When the world stopped watching soccer, they turned to us.
Yeah.
So it's like you had so many people who were new to soccer across the United States just seeing the 70,000. They were like, all right, cool, let's keep following this team. And then when you got to the playoffs, they were like, well, I don't even know what this is all about.
I think there's a red – I agree with you. I think we are part of the equation. There were probably some owners that were pining for this because, look, you can only give the Red Bulls so many chances, okay? They're like the Braves in the 2000s. They just can't win a playoff game.
I will also tell you, though, Mike, and we talk about this because we both, you know, you dabble probably more in it than I do in the international soccer world. But the playoff system with some of the international teams, people, don't make it complicated. Don't get me all caught up in, well, who needs to win and how does this work? And they're out of the league if they lose and what? That's too much.
Because another aspect of it, and it did work for us, but because we kicked butt 3-0 on the Red Bulls, and then remember you and I talked about, we got to watch this match, do or die, Atlantic Station. And then we play keep away. We're basically playing like a penalty kill in hockey. And if you were a first-time soccer viewer, it's pretty awful soccer. Now, that was the strategy that was called for. They implemented it, and it worked. But I'm with you, brother. So, hey, go to single elimination. Keep it simple, stupid. You're right.
All right, guys. That's MLS news coming down today. And we're excited simply because we think it's going to benefit our team. It is Dukes and Bell. Follow us across all social media platforms. 929 The Game. That is the radio station. Duh. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Lots of discussion today about the 40 points our Falcons put up yesterday against the Cardinals. First time, by the way, since 2016 we've scored 40. 215 yards rushing. Tevin Coleman had 145 by himself. And the defense had seven, count them, seven sacks. Mike, I also think one of the big things, and we'll get into this in the 5 o'clock hour after the coaches show, is, you know, the return. I don't even know if that's fair, but Vic Beasley and his impact, it was more than just a tip pass. He had a sack yesterday. He had a couple of impactful plays that maybe if you were on the side of, man, I don't know what Vic Beasley's doing. Why is he even out there? You might have changed your tune yesterday. I don't know if it was enough, as we've been saying today, to kind of grade for Vic Beasley and say, all right, man, you know what? He's shown me enough in these last 3 or 4 weeks where the effort's been there. Even though he doesn't have the sack numbers, right. I think this is a guy that can help our football team moving forward, and I'm willing to pay him the $12.8 million because that's what he's going to get if they decide to do it.
What do you think?
Can't do it.
Me neither. You cannot, as I know, I apologize for using the same phrases today, but what's that, prisoner of the moment?
Because this
is not what he is. You played a crappy Arizona team. You got Josh Rosen patting the ball, walking into sacks like a chicken with his head cut off, and that's part of how we got seven sacks yesterday. Okay, you don't go from having no pressure on the quarterback as we lost 5 games in a row, save for that we had a few hits on Aaron Rodgers. You've got to look at the big picture. You know, Arizona really made us look good on defense yesterday. And that's not hating on a win. I'm a guy that wants to go and watch my home team win. I got a poll question up, by the way. Too little, too late, or happy to see the W? It's overwhelming. It's over like 75%. People saying this is too little, too late at Mike Bell ATL.
Well, the phrase I've used today, and you can say it with me, where has that been? Where's some of the things we saw yesterday been in regards to this season and some of the matchups we had earlier? 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. We wanted blitzes. We got them. We wanted pressure. We got it.
Quarterback sneaks.
We got it. I mean, some running game. We got it. Some of the things. Now, you're going to say, Dukes, you can't do that against every team. And guess what? You're right. But some of this stuff, as we just talked about MLS playoffs, is simple. 4th and 1. Why are we handing the ball off 7 or 8 yards in the backfield when we can't even get any penetration or movement up front when we got a 6'4.5 quarterback who can reach the ball across the line and get the first down and let's keep the chains moving? Some of this stuff just makes you go, where's it been?
Well, that's just it. That's what I was saying to the people that were in their seats next to me at 3:42 on Sunday, and I was tweeting it out yesterday. These are all things which Falcon fans, we've been screaming for. Everybody knows it, man. Everybody who watches Falcon football knows we're better. It's not necessarily a hurry-up. It's a no-huddle, whatever you want to call it. Matt gets into a rhythm. Things always seem to flow better. Then, of course, you just touched on short yardage, which has been, let's be real. That's our Achilles heel going back to the day Michael Turner left this team. So there's things which we saw. Was this a byproduct of the matchups that we knew we could get this against them? That's why we didn't do it against other teams? Or are you literally, Carl, including personnel, throwing everything up on the wall in these final 3 games? Because yes, it really makes you look – I got to be honest with you. If I'm Arthur Blank, that doesn't help your argument. If I'm Arthur Blank, I'm saying, to your point, where was this when the season was on the line? Where were these motions? Where were these movements? Where were these different adjustments and tweaks when the season was going down the tubes?
Where's it been? 404-741-0929 is the number. Part of our discussion today, and again, I'll take the W. I felt better yesterday. I don't know about you. I woke up in a better mood. That's just the way it goes. But we officially have been eliminated from the playoffs. And so with that, you start to, that realization, that finality comes, Mike, where you go, all right, we got 2 games left. What we're going to do? We know now Ito Smith's, again, on the IR. You got some other guys you want to look at. Effort was great yesterday. Would never criticize the effort. Some of the tactical moves and things that we've been wanting to see from our football team, Where's it been? Falcon Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, you're going to hear from Dan Quinn. Obviously, Wes and Dave will have the coach for an hour. And then also the player segment today, which is Grady Jarrett. We've got our big story coming up for those fans who missed our conversation about MLS playoffs changing. We'll get to that next hour as well.
But Mike Conti did tell us that this has been in the works, so we don't want to have so much hubris that Atlanta United is tilting the soccer world off its axis. But apparently this has been something that's been in the works for a while, Carl. But single elimination, and that is something that has got a lot of people fired up because it does change how things will play next year, certainly in a very busy season. Don't forget, we got CONCACAF. We got the U.S. Open Cup. A lot of matches. You know, they can put us on TV midweek, too. So it could be tougher next year for us here in Atlanta.
No doubt, guys. Let's hear from Dan Quinn. It is time for the Coach's Show.
Now it's time for the Dan Quinn Coach's Show with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn.
Here's Wes Durham and Dave Archer.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, we welcome you to Flowery Branch on a Victory Monday for the Dan Quinn Coach's Show with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and later on, Grady Jarrett will be here in our player spotlight. Falcons 40, Cardinals 14 yesterday, home finale at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and I want to say a three-phase effort by your team, Coach. Congratulations.
It was good to see the identity of the team really come through. Number one, we've been talking about turnover margin, and the three of us have quite a bit. And to see that really come to life and finish the game in a plus-three mindset and making them pay for the turnover. So, one, Deion returned, and on the other two, the offense scored touchdowns off of that. So, not to say the game was clean or without mistakes. We had drops and penalties like a normal game. But to have that kind of identity coming through, the speed on defense, the ball hawking, that is what much more of our identity. And then to be able to run the ball like we did.
We were talking last week about mentality as much as we were the X's and O's.
Yep.
You're a little concerned at 7-0. They take the ball after your opening possession. You go 6 plays punt.
Yep.
They go 8 plays, big pass play down the field. You know, then they punch it in on the touchdown. A little concerned?
I was, only because I had told the guys they're going to make a play or two here and there, but it's going to be how you respond and how many more plays we can make and owning your matchups as they come. Because in a game, you may have your own matchups. You're a tight end against the defensive end. You're a quarterback, and who do you go against? And all of those matchups, that's the battle within the game. And we knew if you'd keep fighting, keep battling, keep winning those matchups that you have, we'd come out on top. And so I was glad to see the guys, even though the first quarter didn't go like we wanted, the response was right.
I thought you had talked, Q, about attention to detail. And part of that, I thought it came to life a number of ways, a number of times. The Grady Jarrett comes, he gets a ball out, ball on the ground, you go get it.
Yep.
Okay. Beasley slow plays his rush, realizing it's a quick pass, elevates, bats the ball in the air. Debo's where he's supposed to be in coverage because he's got that guy in the flat, is there to make the play. So attention to detail being where you're supposed to be. Now, those are the kind of things you've been trying to stress,
right,
and have been stressing, not trying to stress, you have been stressing. Ironically enough, the veteran players are the guys that kind of pick up the mantle.
And, you know, oftentimes people would ask, well, what's different? And it was doing what we do better. And that was taking care of the ball better, attacking the football better, and using that kind of speed in a good way. So we had more shots and attacks on the ball than we've had in terms of forcing fumbles and taking shots at it and causing interceptions. So that was a big piece of it. And then to have ways to utilize the speed and get the ball, you know, and outside on the defense, finding ways to get outside is challenging. But we were able to do that yesterday.
A guy continues to impress me and continues to grow, a guy that you had to put on the field as a young guy in 16, is Brian Poole. And his ability, the difficulty of playing in the slot, first of all, I know how difficult,
yep,
that is, and sometimes it's hard to explain that you got extra defender on the sideline, you don't have that in the middle of the field. But his ability to cover and do that, tackle in open space, I think he had a sack, an interception, and a fumble recovery.
Yep,
the only DB in the league,
yeah,
that has done that this year. His ability to muddy the water on the blitz looks.
Yep.
I mean, he's really – I kind of likened it to a couple guys that I remember that kind of come to mind. Charles Woodson was really good in the slot area,
yep,
of disguising, then coming, tackling. Rondé Barber, very good,
yeah,
in doing that kind of stuff. Is,
yeah,
that Rondé
was great at it, and the way he could blitz and make plays. And in fact, Rondé had worked the game this week, and we had spoke during his time with him and the DBs. They called him mad plays, make a difference plays.
Mm.
And it was the one of, you know, you poked a ball out, you rerouted a receiver out of bounds. Okay, he can't catch it. Those were plays in a game to say that made a difference. It was bigger than the plus or minus of the technique. And I think Brian in that game had a lot of make a difference plays when you're into the noise and good open field tackle on fits, a sack, a force, fumble recovery, an interception. Those are plays that make a difference in a game. And sometimes that's bigger than just the plus or minus of a technique on a play. It's when you were supposed to make a play in your spot or you beat a block to make a tackle. Those were the ones that were make a difference. I thought his yesterday made a big difference.
He's still a young guy, but when you have a game like that, how much does that, kind of push you to where that's what got to be your norm? That's not the exception,
right?
A game like that. That's what we expect from Brian Poole every time he plays. Can that happen?
Can, and the reason it can is his mindset. And he was just in the right space. He was not going to be denied for it. And knowing that he's a fighter, and when your back's against the wall, you fight and you battle for it, and it was an excellent game by him.
You know, it's interesting because we talk about the early stages of it. Your momentum piece was the Beasley deflection that Debo picks and
runs. Totally
was.
That was the one that ignited it.
That was it, right?
Yep.
I mean, from then on, the house was rolling.
Yes. And
both sides, really.
Yeah, both sides. And the fact that we didn't start like we want on either side, sometimes that's a good way to come back and fight and see what you're made of, and you let a score go down. Like for Deion to allow a 40-yard catch on him, you can probably count on one hand, the amount of times that's happened over the last, 2.5 years. So for him, those are, not normal plays. So I suspect that old 45 will be raring to go again this weekend.
This was a defense that kind of gives you a helter-skelter look up front.
Yep.
And I had mentioned in one of my keys to the game, because they're that way, it creates a problem in trying to get a hat on a hat. But if they don't fit right against the run, you can gash them, especially with as many guys there are around the line of scrimmage. You did that. As you evaluated your offensive line and getting a hat on a hat to give Tev and give Ito places to run, were you pleased with that?
I was, and I thought two guys that really stood out in the game, we call them finish points, was Matthews and Schweitzer. And Sombrilo. So both tackles, I thought, really had urgency. And if they were cutting off the backside, that's an important block because now I'm the one that has to, create a seam to go. Matthews on the screen to Julio was out in front. You saw him out in front down the field on the long Coleman run. He really plays with urgency, talking about Jake. And those are three of the guys that stood out to me.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with us. Of course, Victory Monday here at Flowery Branch on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Tevin Coleman, a career high. 144, does it on less than 10 carries, had a couple of big long hits now.
Yep.
The 65-yarder set up the first field goal, a field goal for
That's
Matt
right.
Bryant, 10 points in when you took the lead late in the first half. He did a lot of stuff in space yesterday, really kind of gave you that ignition I think you were looking for in the ground game, and then you changed gears with those two guys. I thought Ito provided
you.
He
did.
Prior to leaving with the injury.
He had an excellent play. It was a third down where he ran an option, off the backer and broke in and then broke back outside. He caught it and got a first down. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was maybe got it down to the 1 yard
catch
line.
Too. He had to twist to make the grab for
And that's the type of plays that Ito is capable of making. He's got good, tough runs in the hole. He's a tough competitor, and although he's not a bigger or heavier guy, he has excellent balance.
All right, but he did get banged up, you said earlier today. He's on the IR list.
And yep. So we'll
but if you had five games, you could bring him back maybe, right?
Yes, and so we're hopeful, that he just wouldn't make it back in the two. So we wanted to make sure that, he's going to get a procedure done and we'll get him good and squared away moving forward. And the same thing really with Free, that he's working hard and getting right, and we're going to give him every chance to get back if he could, but he won't make it back in time with the next two games and to be ready. So he's making good progress, but enough to be ready to play. If it would have been in these two games, we won't make it, knowing that this is it.
Q, I thought that both your backs yesterday did a better job, and I know you talk about track and running that. And part of that track is once you take the football is the ability to see the cutback.
Yes.
And I thought they got back in that hole for you. It's been available some this season. You haven't gotten advantage of it. That's what Devontae does so well. Were you pleased with the way they saw the holes?
And we saw it from Tevin. I thought he had an excellent week of practice and preparation, the way that he would hit it and really take it up to press a block and then make a cut to go. So he did a good job in protection, was physical in that way, and to have those kind of runs, the ball security was excellent. There was a guy, trailing him, come up from behind, and for him to have the two long runs and one for a score, I was most impressed by that.
All right. Well, we get to the offense here, but I don't want to skew the first segment without talking about seven sacks. And you were equal opportunity yesterday now in the sack game. I mean, everybody got involved. Poole had one. I guess Means had a couple. Grady Jarrett got in. I mean, everybody was playing the game yesterday.
I think when it comes down to affecting the quarterback, there's some games that you may hit him and he's able to get rid of the ball. Quarterback Arch knows when the pressure's coming, I got to get rid of it. Well, for a younger quarterback, sometimes you don't know that. And you try to stay scramble and stay alive, and we were able to finish on the quarterback on some scrambling plays. And so oftentimes that'll happen to when they try to extend plays. So I was pleased to see the effort and the speed of the group. Our identity certainly showed up more of what we're capable of and playing like. So it felt a lot more like our style.
Whenever this guy, I could tell you guys got to him at some point because his eyes came down out of the secondary. Now he started looking at the pass rush. And usually when a young quarterback, that happens to him, it happened to me, all of a sudden you start looking at the pass rush, you're not looking for opportunities to get the ball out. And I thought you guys put him in that position. Did you guys use more pressure packages yesterday, or just because you saw they were having a tough time picking it up, maybe got to a few more?
We didn't do any more. In fact, we had some that were, thrown, when you can buy time by just holding on to the ball for an extra count, it can make a difference as a rush. And that's, I thought, was a big, byproduct of having some of the sacks. I think the quarterback's going to be a good player. He's got a strong arm. He can throw it all over the field with accuracy, but when you can cause some indecisiveness, like happened a little bit yesterday, the result of that is where you allow the rushers and the pass rush more time to get there. And as you know, any quarterback that holds on to it a little bit longer, that offensive line, they don't like that because they know what's coming is more hits. And so if you're really mobile, that can work. The Cam Newtons and Russell Wilsons of the world, where they just buy time and escape somehow. But when you're a pocket passer and you hold on too long, usually it sacks result.
Yeah, the most discouraging thing you can do as a quarterback to your offensive line is to be laying on the ground with the ball behind them. You want the ball out.
That's right. Yeah. And so, like I said, I think he's got an excellent player, and I couldn't have been more impressed with some of Arizona's veteran players. For a long time, I've had great respect for Peterson and Fitz and the way those two guys battle and go after it. And so for the whole game, there's Fitz at the end catching passes and trying to finish, and the same thing with Peterson returning punts and trying to make plays. Much respect for those two, and certainly I think Rosen is going to be a good player.
All right, we're going to come back more with Coach on To Tell the Truth Monday, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so we'll come back.
No matter what.
Tell a little more truth, and we'll get ready for Sunday in Charlotte.
You sound like you have something under your hat.
Well, I was going to get the teaching points today. Okay. I mean, I'm sure there was something in that team meeting today that'll be a focal point coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Charlotte when the Panthers roll in. And Carolina will be on a short week because they play New Orleans tonight in the Monday night game. We'll come back to Flowery Branch with Coach Dan Quinn, Grady Jarrett. Still to come in the player spotlight, all that and more on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now let's go back to Flowery Branch for more of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Here's Wes Durham and Dave Archer
on the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcon fans have a chance to save up to $100 at Kauffman Tire this season when the Falcons score a touchdown. For each score the Falcons score a touchdown, it's $25 off at any Kauffman Tire store the next day. Yesterday, the team scored in all four quarters. So get in there and save your $100. $100 off four select new tires today only. Get into Kauffman Tire in any local store or go to kauffmantire.com for your details. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons.
Nobody more happy about four quarters of tires than Dan Quinn.
If we could sell as many tires as we could every Monday, there'd be nobody happier than me.
I know that.
We'll see your local Kauffman Tire store today. Yeah. Save that $100.
KauffmanTire.com. Panthers on Sunday in Charlotte. It's been since week two since the two teams have played. Lots changed.
Yep.
Dave and I were reflecting earlier. Man, they've been as banged up as anybody else. They've lost, obviously, Greg Olsen, a Pro Bowl tight end, a handful of other guys through the grind of the season as well. Said going to break. Tell the truth Monday. So what's the teaching point today after a 26-point victory yesterday?
Number one, we wanted to make sure that there wasn't like a magic ingredient that went in, but our focus had really matched our fight. And by saying that, we had great regard for the ball. Offensively, the way we owned it, took care of it. The run game, we stayed consistent with it. On the defensive side, same part of the run game that we liked to stop the run, and then had ways to create takeaways and turnovers. And when those two things are aligned, it certainly seems like we're at our very best. So it will take equal or more this week to say, here's the things that you want to improve on. So the same exercise we went through last Monday to say, all right, Arch and Dave, which plays could you have made a difference in this game? Last week we did that as a group. Well, we did it again today to say, here's what I need to emphasize in my game this week to play at our best. So where's your battles going to be? They're going to check the game. And when we come back in Wednesday, where are your matchups? Who do you match up and how do we play them? And we'll put together the whole game plan and go for it again. But we knew the process is where it happens for us. And when you do all the work to get ready, by the time Sunday comes around, you feel really confident and ready to roll.
Q, I know it's been aggravating for you guys in short yardage to get pick up first downs. And yesterday decided change, especially when it was third and one or shorter, which is a lot of times the choice. But you decide to have Matt Ryan push it in there and get that first down, get a quick surge and get up the field. Was there something from a tape standpoint, or did you just got tired of not getting third and one?
I think we just got tired of not getting it. So
yeah.
We said, you know, like one way or another, we're going to get it. And so there was a number of different ones. We missed on actually one, a pass to Julio of another third and one. But I liked the one that Mo had, and we liked the sneaks, you know, certainly with Matt. We trust him into those moments, and we're going to attack in any way that we think can get the job done. And, in this case, we don't think of Matt lowering the head as getting the yards, but in this case, against that opponent, that was the call.
Were you stunned at there was a decided, and I told you that I had seen some preparation for you guys earlier in the year for the 12-gauge formation with Mo at quarterback and running the zone read, and a lot of time spent on that with another team. Obviously, Arizona had spent the same time because as soon as Mo lined up, they made a huge shift. Personnel slid up. It was an 8-man box.
Holy cow.
And they weren't even close to defending it. It tells you that it doesn't matter whether you've put any time on it or not.
Yeah, you better in new looks that, you know, factor into that. And Matt certainly didn't have any great fake. He was all the way out there and was a statue. He didn't move one bit.
He didn't fall down getting out there, though.
And Peterson was out there pointing at him like he was going to defend Ryan. I'm thinking, what are you doing?
Yeah, so we definitely need to incorporate him more. But those are the things. We really trust Mo. And to put a person into that spot, you have to have a real regard to say, okay, in this space, if you're going to really be a read option, sometimes the guy's back there just to handle it the whole time. But Mo can throw it, and he can read who he has to read. So we're fortunate that it's a separate package that takes time to work on, and he's able to do it.
Well, yesterday during the broadcast, you're calling for the Penn Charter wrinkle, too, now around the goal line, aren't you?
Well, yeah, the old his old high school days for Ryan, and he starts running with the football. But we want to limit that as well. Although he does come out and does the pump fake, and he's pulling it down and running. I think he started feeling himself a little bit.
Yeah, he hit the trifecta. He had a rushing touchdown, a rushing first down, and a rushing explosive run on the scramble.
So that's right, explosive.
That's definitely the trifecta. Short yardage conversion, touchdown for the run, and explosive.
So I love it.
I don't know if he'll ever have that three-peat like Brian Poole had. They're for both guys equally tough to get.
Yeah. when you walk through this week, now that you've come off kind of snapping the skid a little bit and the momentum's obviously a lot better than it was maybe the last couple of weeks. What are the things about the last two ball games that not only helped 2018? And this is the tricky part, I think, but yet I respect so much kind of what you've built here in 4 years that I know there's got to be a little bit of this that goes to next,
yes,
right?
Yes, there is. And you've heard coaches talk a lot. Well, you know, it doesn't carry over like it – most things don't because the teams are different.
Right.
But that doesn't mean your identity and your style, what you have, doesn't. Because trust me, the lessons learned in 18 have to be pushed forward into 19, because if we don't carry into some of these lessons, whether it's turnover margin or mistakes of self-inflicted wounds, if they don't carry over into 19, all the pain that you went through of having them wasn't worth it. So yes, there is things that do carry over from a team into from one season to the next. Most of it involves learning. Most of it involves, you know, something that's not going to happen again. And each year the team is different because the chemistry is different for the players, but the lessons that you learn have to be pushed forward.
Q, I got asked by a number of fans after the game, were asking, okay, what's more important? Is winning the game important or playing the players and getting them more play time, some of the guys that haven't played as much? I said yes and yes, because you're trying to win the football game.
Absolutely.
Regardless of who you put on the field. You got a lot of that yesterday. I mean, Russ got to play a lot at wide receiver for you. I know Isaiah got in at corner, but you played your entire – what you've been doing, as it turns out, if you haven't been watching the games, you've been playing all those guys all year.
Right.
Most of the last half of the year anyway.
And if they've earned that time in practice, then we feel excellent about it. And that's the only way, because it's our responsibility to all the players that are playing and putting in all the time and effort to do that, to make sure that the guys who are going in with them can hold up their end of the deal. But men like Gage, who, you know, had his chances, but then when Julio got hurt, that is the next man up. And so he had his chances to go and earn some time with the guys. And those are the moments that they definitely matter.
It's interesting. Russell Gage is one of those young guys. And too, Justin Hardy's had a couple nice weeks here for you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy who – he's been around here a few years now. It's not like he's a new guy, but he's a guy that's continuing to make plays for you, too. So there's some emergence even from guys who you've known for a couple of years, not just rookies or first-year guys.
And the leader of it all with Matt, he, you know, works – you know, with a number of receivers to make sure, hey, I want Russ in here. I want to see him with this rep as well. So he calls for those guys that he really trusts, and Russell is one of those. And that's like, you know, getting the call up to the varsity, you know, hey, Ryan wants to see you on this route, you know. So, all right, I'm in. So
called up to the varsity. I like
you know,
that.
When you're on the JV and you're getting the call. So that's why practice is so important, and it's why we make such a big deal of it, because that's where so much of the proving takes place. That's so much of where the accountability has to take place to show the other members of the team that you're ready for the challenge, you're ready for the moment, because you can't BS a player. You know, they know who puts it in, they know who doesn't, and so the guys that that are going to play are going to be the ones that are really trusted and counted on to get the job done.
All right, you shift gears and you got a divisional opponent that you're going to go to their building. This is a guy that obviously you guys are a group of guys you know extremely well. One in particular, the quarterback, is a different guy when it comes to getting him to the ground. You've been able to pressure the quarterback the last couple of weeks. I'm assuming you're anticipating doing the same thing. What do you do differently as a preparation to get this guy on the ground?
Yeah, it takes a lot of preparation because their offense is unique and the guy at the center of it is unique, but they've had fantastic seasons from McCaffrey. The way they're able to run the ball this year, I mean, obviously when the quarterback runs for a good amount, your running numbers go up, but I would be remiss if I didn't comment on McCaffrey. He is an old school running back in terms of play time. He is in for the entire game, first down, second down, third down, totes it all the time. He may be 97-98% play time for them as a running back. And that's rare these days, of guys that can handle the entire load, offense, defense, blitz pickup. He catches a ton of passes. So much respect for his game and how he's developing, you know, as a runner and really as a player.
All right, as the old grizzled defensive guy, is McCaffrey scarier catching it than running it, or vice versa? Or
that's a good one. I would say he probably has more space when they're throwing it. And they've had an excellent plan of how to utilize him and getting him the ball in space. But anytime you create matchups to get outside, it can be difficult to find them. They've done a nice job of including, like, on their team, just about everybody carries it. Wide receivers get it on reverses. Running backs get it. You know, the quarterback gets carries. So it is not just, okay, hand it to the running back for their way they get their yards. There's reverses every game, and with Samuel, with, you know, the way they just utilize different guys, you know. So, to me, that's a big factor. How do they utilize the run game where it's not just the running back getting the ball?
When you put two elite players on the field, albeit they're not on the field at the same time, in Deion Jones and Luke Kuechly, two guys, one guy is, I guess, the preeminent guy and another guy that's going to that level. Is there a little competition that exists when you start
there
seeing
those guys? There definitely is, because both teams have a lot of crossover tape together. So there's definitely regard for both. And it's the way Thomas Davis can blitz. It's the way that Shaq can run. And I'm sure they, on their side, you know, they see Devondre and Deion and the speed that they play with. And so it's definitely, you know, friendly competition of who can play it better and how do you do it. But we've got a lot of respect for their linebackers and the way that they play. Really, in the front seven, they've played aggressive, and that's been Ron's style for a long time. And they've played really consistently good, especially in the run game, downhill and aggressive, and played it strong that way.
Take a little peek tonight, huh?
Yep, that's the homework assignment for the guys. And get started on that and look at the matchups to go. So for them, you know, division game, which would be tough, hard fought. And it's the fun part of the NFC South. You know, every single time you go, you better bring it, because all four teams are equipped to score, got players at different spaces. The feature them in different ways. And so we're different than New Orleans and different from Carolina, and Tampa's different from, you know, us. And so the four teams in the division all have playmakers at different spaces, but all of them, you better bring it.
All right, Coach, thanks as always. Go get an early Christmas present on Sunday.
All right, thanks, guys. Can't wait.
All right, stay tuned. Grady Jarrett and the Player Spotlight coming up next from Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.